Instead of asking, what is it that you should wear today? What is it that you want to put out there today? What is it that you want to create? How about looking at what it is you want to feel? What it is you want your tribe to feel? And how do you want to lead them in that experience? This is Lena Ski, hostess of the Supernova Podcast, and I'm so thrilled to be bringing up this invitation to greatness to all of you purpose-centered entrepreneurs tuning in through SoundCloud and iTunes. If you're a purpose-centered entrepreneur who's looking to step up your business, uncover your brand, share meaningful marketing messages, and create a purpose-centered life, this is the place for you.
Well, I just wanted to say a huge welcome to the most luscious, ferocious warrior Technicolor priestess out there. It's so great to have you on the Supernova Podcast.
And I'm so excited to be here and chatting with you, Lena. I'm very honored to be here with you. Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. And when I first kind of connected with what you were doing, I was just like, oh, that's just so beautiful, because yes, you do get brand specialists, and you do get people looking at that side of how you're presenting yourself. But the way that you've just brought it all together in this kind of soul style approach, this of branding and all of that, it's just so juicy.
Ooh, thank you.
And one of the things I love that you had on your site, you've just got this great personality that really shines through in your text and the way you present yourself.
Thank you.
And on your about page, you mentioned that you're a human highlighter. And I was wondering if maybe we could start off with that. Like, what are some of the highlights and the lowlights that you kind of see people are going through or bumping up against in terms of the kind of work that you're doing?
Yes, I love that question. So, I think I've one of the things I notice a lot, and I think this can be generally said for so many women, which let's shift this. But there are so many women who have so much going for themselves, who are so beautiful and have these amazing traits and characteristics, and but they do not see it. No matter what, they have these blinders, these limiting beliefs that keep them totally, separate from seeing these qualities. And even if people tell them, it's like they don't allow themselves to believe and embrace those qualities exist, or embrace that the fact that those qualities are there. So. Basically, what I do is help to go in and just highlight everything. You have this in your personality. I highlight it. I'm going to bring it up to you. You have amazing legs and you can rock that skirt. I'm going to highlight that and bring it up to your awareness. So it really helps to shift focus out of everything that's quote unquote wrong and start bringing the focus to that which is right, because there's so much right about all of us, each and every one of us. So why focus on the yucky stuff that makes you feel like crap-a-roo, right? So that's basically, I really spend a lot of time, highlighting so that the focus, their thoughts and their energy really just is starts going there instead. And I think the low light would be, just the resistance to accepting that there's anything good about them. The resistance to being visible, because there's a fear there. I see a lot, about, maybe the perceived dangers of being visible, and because when we're visible, we're scrutinized. So even though I feel miserable being invisible, I'm just going to continue hiding out in the shadows so that nothing happens to me. But kind of stay frozen when that happens.
Oh, for sure. It really just holds you back from the greatness and what it is you've been called here to do.
Yes, exactly. That's what it really boils down to. Mm.
And I think it's also something that's really great, because the way you hold it is you're highlighting it based on an individual aspect. Where most people in the beauty industry are saying this is the standard of beauty, therefore, this is conventionally what beauty is. But everyone's definition of beauty is A, going to be subjective, and it's also going to be very specific to the kind of things that they want to do. I know this person, she's a singer slash model, and she's always had complexities about her height. But given the kind of industry she wants to be in, it's like she couldn't have asked for the most perfect thing, because that's going to highlight exactly where she needs to be thing, and she's going to be so much more visible because of it. So it really is a perspective question, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's just a shift in perspective. And that, the yes, you hit the nail right on the head, my friend. It really is about shifting your perspective so that it clicks in. It clicks in, and then it works for you. Yes. Instead of seeing it, carrying it as this horrible, you know, weight on your shoulders and this defect, or you know, like this gigantic, you know, pussing wart or something that about you, shifting it and seeing how it actually can work for you, you know, reframing it, doing whatever you need to do to just accept it.
And that also kind of speaks into the program that you run, which is From Blah to Beautiful. And that phrase has kind of been playing around with me for some time. I don't know if you know Sally Hogs.
Yes, I
and
love
it. It's kind of like that whole idea of, like, we kind of get so sold into the boringness of it, and we kind of unlearn how to be fascinating. I've been doing so many branding programs, and I've actually just repurposed my branding VIP days. And people are just, they're so stuck in that mediocrity, again, going back to that fear, that low light, that we just kind of get so settled in on that blahness and that everydayness that we actually forget the magic in that moment and how beautiful it actually is.
Exactly. We do, because even though we hate feeling the blah, it's safer. You don't have to take risks when you're in the blah zone. You don't have to be visible. You don't have to work hard or stretch yourself or expand or try. You're just kind of, you know, on cruise control in a way when you're in the blah zone. You know, and even though it's ugly and it's yucky and you're vibrating sort of at a low kind of neutral level, the comfort of what you know is sort of more intense sometimes than the fear of the unknown of becoming your more beautiful, wow, neon, bigger self.
And it's also such a great concept, because we, even in that, there's the black and white world or the grayscale world, and you're inviting people into a technicolor experience.
Yes, with heightened senses and, and just even a, like an expand, I always see this like as a video game, like Super Mario Brothers, right? So the more tokens you have, you know, you eat up, and the more work you do, like self-help, the more books you read, the more you take risks. It's like suddenly your aura, your energetic field kind of expands, and you grow, like you sort of expand into this bigger version of you, and then you're on the next plane. So that's sort of how this is. Yes, like entering the technical world is kind of that way.
No, it's just, it's so beautiful, and yet I totally hear where people are in that resistance for it, because it's a new way of seeing things, and seeing colors for the first time is scary.
Yeah, seeing other possibilities, because then the other scary part of it is realizing, oh crap, I had a choice this whole time, and I was choosing blah world instead, you know what I mean? Because it's so, the fear of the unknown is so intense. That you think, you know what, I don't even want to go there, but then when you actually take a risk and start exploring technical world, you see that it's not so bad after all. It's not that freaky and scary and dangerous after all. And so it can sort of be that whole, I can't believe it took me so long to do this kind of thing, you know?
Even as you say that, it feels like you're blurring the line on Technicolor as well, because yes, you're approaching it on the beauty aspect or the fashion aspect, personally, even maybe even the personal branding in terms of that, but you're bringing in so much more modalities into what it is you're doing. You're bringing in the vibrational fields, maybe even the chakras and all of that. So it's really a new take on how to be.
Yes, thank you. I love that you see that and you say that, because it really, for me, style, it's not just about clothes and fashion and trends and you know, what earrings go with what, you know, outfit or whatever. That's part of it, but it's not, it actually goes so much more deeply than that, because it's really about visually expressing your essence as a human, visually expressing your unique voice, visually expressing your core mission here and your purpose on this earth, and, you know, your soul. You're pretty much showing people, you're wearing yourself in a way on the outside. And it's only then when you're really expressing that yourself so authentically that you're in alignment, and then you're sort of like super you, right? You're confident, you're in your power, you're in your energetic stilettos, as I like to say. And you're really doing it, that you're really showing up for this adventure that's yours. So it's not just about the, and you're also honoring yourself with the garments that you adorn yourself with. So there's a ceremonious sort of spiritual part of it as well. So yeah, it has lots of layers. Thank you for seeing that.
Oh, no, I just love the way you said that, because part of the next question was, what exactly is the soul style that you're speaking about? And I think you just really summed that up so beautifully, because we are this multidimensional being. There's so many different facets to us, and being able to accessorize and decide which facet we're going to be highlighting and lowlighting, and creating our own experiences and igniting that world in such a powerful way, it supersedes everything. It's just really a new way of doing things. And I think entrepreneurs need to be thinking like that, because I was just working with some third-year students on a business plan development course, which just came out of the blue, and I was like, oh, this is such a great opportunity. And, you know, the college had a academic portfolio in terms of what they wanted to look at. But a lot of the times when you think of a business plan, you don't think of the brand element. And especially in the kind of world that we're in, everyone thinks that a business plan then determines the brand, but really it's who we are determining the business plan. It's our brand determining that piece. It was a room full of guys. So I was like, oh my goodness, I keep trying to explain this to a room full of guys. Just felt so different, because obviously with girls, they tend to resonate with that piece of it. And guys tend to think of it more in a tactile format, like it's the logo and it's this. But speaking into it like that, and not necessarily the way you're holding it, but just a fragment of it, people get that, and people just see the need for that and that authentic expression in themselves. So what do you think it is that's opening up this new way of looking at themselves?
I think right now, especially in entrepreneurship, you mean? Mm-hmm. I think in entrepreneurship, I think a lot of us are understanding that doing this work is really a huge, you know, I've been stretched and expanded and tested, and it's like it kind of kicks your ass, but in a good way. It makes you grow so much. So I think a lot of us are seeing that it's just so much more than what it appears to be. Like, I'm going to open a business, and here's what's going to happen. Here's my overhead. Here's da da da. It really isn't about that. It's about believing in something so deeply and passionately that you know you have to spread your message. You know, it's almost life or death. It's so profound. And so I think when you give it that depth and that sort of sacred and spiritual and sort of bigger than you purpose aspect, you understand that it has to be you who is doing this. It's your mission. So it suddenly becomes something personal instead of something generic. And I think that's the big thing. People are saying that it really has to be sort of an extension of yourself, of who you are truly, for it to work, for people to resonate, for people to see that you're the one who can best serve them and help them solve their problem. And I think it's just becoming more and more, I think it's come from that know, like, and trust factor. Yeah, that was a really long-winded answer.
But it was exactly the answer that everyone needed to hear. And what that also brings up is authenticity. Because I think in a competitive world, we're all trying to be originals. And I think also the beauty industry is also kind of like, you know, be an original and wear your hair like this and do this and do that. But with the amount of people that we do have on this planet, in conventional wisdom, it's really hard to be an original, because you're just being a variation of something that's already been there. And with this, it's more about of an authentic expression. It's really about like grounding yourself in that experience. And what is it that your soul is, and how do you wear your soul? How do you interact with them?
Yes, I love that. Beautifully said. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, and I think that is part of, that's a big piece of it also, yes, that I think so many women are going on, and men, but I'm surrounded by mostly women, I'm realizing, who are on this journey as well. So the only thing that can set you apart is really bringing in who you are, because that's the only way you're going to be different. If you're following all these conventions and you know, what the beauty industry tells you to wear and do, and certain photographers or stylists are telling you, you have to wear this to look this way, it all ends up looking the same. So that's why I think it's so important with style, for example, you know, your visual expression, to really go within. And if it's something, you know, two or three different elements that look totally, that no one would logically say, those things look good together. If it's you, then it's going to look good, and it's going to flow, and it's going to be harmonious, and it's going to resonate. And that's important.
So, I mean, without going too deep into it, because I know it's part of your process work that you do, how does one kind of connect with their personal style?
There are lots of layers, but one of the first things I have women do to connect with their personal style, it's so simple. You're going to say, come on, but it's really this simple, Lena, is to start paying attention to what you like. Start paying attention to songs and smells and textures and movies and pictures and paintings and foods, just whatever it is, or even contexts that really give you butterflies in your stomach, that make you feel giddy, that make you feel how you want to feel. And start making a list of those things. And if you're having a hard time, I have some of my clients carry around a notebook to just be jotting these things down so that they can remember them. You know, those things that bring them that feeling that they want to feel more often. That feels like, oh, like I'm home and this is exactly like something that click, right? That sweet spot, as it were. So it seems like a simple exercise because, of course, I know what I like. I'm me. But we forget, don't we?
Oh, we do. Ejne, I totally relate to that. I mean, I've seen it so many times with my coaching clients and things that I've done that it feels like it's such an easy answer, but you always go into these vague things and it's like the strawberries and this or that, but we can't really ground it in any sort of experience. And, you know, it can become a workshop of its own, really, just getting to the understanding of what really moves you, what really tickles you, what actually inspires you to do anything.
Yes, because and sometimes it can be the silliest thing, or a smell, or I mean, really, it can just be you're like, what, that tickles me in that way. But yes, it does, and that's okay. And honoring that and giving it credit and space, you know, honoring it and allowing it to exist, I think that is huge. And making it a priority, because so many people think, you know what I'm doing now, this work or whatever. My family, all of us say those are important things, but you're just as important. You have to be happy, and you have to be in alignment and connected with who you are and yourself to then be a better person in your life to everyone who, you know, who you're connected to.
I think what you just said, I just kind of got goosebumps as you were saying it. Allowing yourself to exist and allowing yourself to be seen and heard and understood, those are the three fundamental needs that a lot of people have, of course, and to be loved being the fourth one. And to be able to just ground yourself in that experience and giving yourself that chance to be that priority in your own life is really what this work is all about, isn't it?
It really does boil down to that. Yes, thank you. Like that, you just highlighted that. Maybe you can highlight it too. But that really is the whole point, is that just, you know, making it a priority, making it okay and acceptable to say yes to yourself, to do things that feel good just because, to, you know, to have, you know, some, a strike of whimsy or whatever, just have fun, just do things that feel good just because they feel good, because you deserve that. And, you know, allowing yourself to exist, be visible, that is so huge too. Give yourself permission.
Yeah, give yourself permission. And in that, give yourself love. Because also part of the beauty industry has conventionally been designed to get love from the outside. So we're dressing to get approval from the boss, the co-workers, from the guy of our dreams.
Yes.
Without loving ourselves first.
Yes. Yes, those are the emotional donuts, as I like to call them, the compliments, because they so you're doing all this, and yes, they tell you have to wear this, and you have to look this way, and you know, wear this and this, then you'll be acceptable and desirable and beautiful and enviable. And as you do it, you're just waiting for all this external approval. All these the compliments are just donuts, right? They taste delicious for a minute. Oh. Delicious, but there's no substance to it. There's no sustenance. So you're not nourished. The calories are horrible for you, so you have a stomach ache, and then you're hungry again for more of those emotional donuts.
And your ego just gets fatter as well.
Yes, exactly. And so there's never enough. When you depend on those, you're constantly ravenous. So that's why the internal love, you really have to go. Now I get that. It took me so long to get that, but it clicked eventually, and what a difference it has made. To not be sort of ravenous for those emotional donuts to really be able to, like, to nourish myself. And then if those come, they're really lovely, you know, that's cool. High fives and woo! But to know that most of those accolades and that love comes from me, from inside of me.
So how did you get onto this journey?
Now that you want the long or the short end? basically, I think I've always been on this journey, but from the time I was little, I always, my passion was to make other people look and feel beautiful. So I've made over neighbors and college roommates and, you know, everyone you can imagine, my grandmother, my mom, everyone. And but I never had the courage to sort of express it because in my family, I sort of received the information that you had to be perfect. You had to be really beautiful and perfect and, sort of plastic to be worth anything. So I didn't see myself as that. And I basically ignored my style. I did everything I could just to keep myself safe and invisible, and not create waves, you know? So that's why I know all about this visibility thing. I felt so much safer being invisible. And because I wasn't perfect, so to me, I wasn't worthy. And eventually, you know, after lots of work and reading and shifts and lots of things, I realized that, you know, it wasn't about being beautiful or looking a certain way. It was about feeling a certain way, feeling beautiful. Because that's what actually makes your days nice and what raises your vibration, right? When you're actually feeling beautiful. You have some, you know, aesthetically beautiful, perfect women, the golden triangle or whatever, who don't feel good about themselves. So if you're not doing things that make you feel beautiful, you're not going to, I mean, it's not going to make a difference how you look on the outside. So once I realized that it was within my control to feel beautiful, that opened up my world. And I wanted to share that with other women. And that sort of, with that came, knowing that it's okay to not be everyone's cup of tea. It's okay. Like, I don't control other people's thoughts and opinions. So if someone doesn't have, you know, isn't fawning over me, that doesn't mean I'm any less valuable or beautiful or worthy as a human. So, and part of that, like, really allowing myself to feel beautiful, part of that was the style factor that I've always adored. That's always been sort of my creative outlet. So, I sort of decided to combine those two. That's really, you know, the feeling part, the mindset part, combined with the actual, you know, how you decide to adorn yourself on the outside as a result, to feel how you want to feel, to feel beautiful.
Sounds like quite a journey. I'm sure there was a lot of layers and a lot of peeling and a lot of tears and aha moments and everything that goes with such a process.
Yes, yeah, I mean, so much. That could be a whole other call. But, really realizing that how I treated myself was a choice. I was focusing on everything I thought was wrong about me, and that just made me feel worse. And so that led me to bad choices, like, you know, binge eating and, you know, violence against my body and, you know, self-loathing. And then sort of associated to that were risk, fears around taking risks and, you know, just like letting life pass me by because I thought I was so ugly. That's really what it boiled down to. So I realized I was choosing that. And I want to invite other women to understand that you can choose, you know, to hide or to just accept and love yourself and do things that make you feel beautiful so that you can then just enjoy your life.
For sure. And that's such a powerful story that everybody needs to hear because we have these choices and we have these options out there. And as we spoke about at the very beginning, we tend to go back into that blah zone, that comfort zone. But without seeing that you're actually creating this reality, without actually realizing it's not an outside-in experience, it's an inside-out experience, and making yourself a priority, then you're just going to be attracting more of the same, and, you know, you're just going to be in a perpetual mud bath, and you might think that's making you beautiful, but the mud that you're actually bathing in is toxic.
Ooh, that gave me goosebumps. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. It's toxic. And that's what I realized For so long, I was sort of, I was concerned just about how the outside looked. I was trying to dress the part, you know, to be acceptable. So wearing the things I'm supposed to wear and the makeup I'm supposed to wear and all these things. And on the inside, I didn't even think that happiness existed. I hated myself on the inside. So there was a total disconnect from the outside and the inside. So I love how you said that it really is from the inside out. Because I looked one way, you know, and I was getting quote unquote approval, but I felt like total malarkey. I felt like it was horrible. It was not fun, yeah. So it's an inside job, my friend.
It is an inside job. And that also doesn't make it necessarily that much harder of a job or a long-winded job, because I think a lot of people look at the outside so much easier to fix, because you just put a bandage over it and you just kind of, you know, put makeup over the scar and it's not there. Mm. And then people look at the inside person, they're like, oh my gosh, but that's like, by the age of 90, then I'll figure out how to be beautiful, you know? They kind of have this long-winded process about it. But the leaps and bounds that you're making, for starters, you're actually shifting something. So you're moving towards beauty, or you're accepting beauty, moving towards it. You're stepping into what is beautiful for you. But yeah, it's just this completely different energy, and I think people, I'm so glad that people are waking up to that and taking the inside journey rather than just doodling with the surface level stuff.
Right. Yes, no, I totally agree. I think it's definitely becoming more and more, you know, sort of, yeah, that information is more and more available. People are believing it and experiencing that more and more, and that's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing, because, despite the fact that I love using style to help women, you know, to teach them to feel how they want to feel, the whole point, like the main, I guess, the goal is to always be vibrating at beautiful, no matter, you know, to eventually feel like and believe that you are so beautiful that whether you're wearing, you know, an amazing ball gown and professional hair and makeup, or you know, jeans and a t-shirt and some tennis shoes to go to the grocery store, you're still vibrating at that same beautiful frequency, because the mindset is so important. So using the clothing, like really connecting with yourself and then using that to express your soul, that's sort of it sort of helps to create that habit in your brain that I am beautiful, I am worthy, this is me, I can exist. And then sort of you can take the training wheels off, and sometimes you don't need to dress that way, you know? At first, it's an exercise in repetition and seeing that in the mirror and understanding, oh, look at it, I look beautiful again today. Ooh, I love how I look again today. And then you can sort of, you don't have to do that every day to give yourself that confirmation. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. And those are the best moments as well, when you're not on those training wheels and you're not in that conscious mindset of tripping yourself up to think you're beautiful and to give yourself that pampering, because it's, you're also then dealing with the gremlins come with it, because when you're in that conversation, there's always going to be that other person going, maybe not, or, you know, that person just looked at me a little bit weird. And I'm coming from, like, being relatively shy back in school and kind of always being more drawn to introverted ways, it's easy to kind of get these weird cues coming in at you. But when you drop that, when you almost surrender to the moment, and you're in that ooh-la-la moment, whether it's wearing, yeah, like, whatever it is you're wearing, and you're not even conscious of that, then such magical things happen. Because it's not just then about the compliments. It's opportunities that open up for you. It's a whole new way of being and doing things. And then the world lets you step into greatness on such a bigger way.
Yes, exactly. It's a whole new way of existing. Yes. Yes, because it's sort of, you catch up to sort of, it all falls into place, it all aligns, right? There's that magical, it clicks into place, and that is magic. You're right, you start attracting people and experiences and little miracles and just cool things that you never thought possible because of what you're radiating.
And I think also in the entrepreneurial world, apart from if you're looking at the job market, maybe landing the client or getting the job, there's more of a symmetry to the kind of tribe you want to be attracting, because then you start to feel that collectiveness. And whether or not they're styled similar to you or in complementary or supplementary ways to you, it just kind of builds this community around it, which I always find really exciting.
Yes, and even if there's not the same, you know, style like you mentioned, at least there's that common thread, that like-mindedness. And then how you express that outside is totally, you know, it all varies, but it's the real crux that, you know, the soul that really creates that bond and that, it gives out that bat signal, right? To call in your tribe who really gets you and who knows that you get them as well.
And on a supernova level, again, it attracts those opportunities, but it just puts you in power. And what I love about supernovas as a concept and, you know, working with the supernova energy has just been astounding. And like every time I keep pinching myself because I keep seeing how it starts with a bang, and I'm just like so happy to be doing this work. But the point I'm trying to make is everyone's competing and trying to be the brightest star in the room, but when you're in that space of authenticity and just being the soul, everything is complete and everything is just so authentic and it's just effortlessness happening. And it's just that little smudge of extra color or that little accessory or that little thing, or maybe it's that big bold thing that you put on, or, you know, or a styling hat, whatever it is that you're doing stylistically to then put yourself out there in a bigger way. It just complements it so much more.
Exactly. It goes with your landscape and it just makes sense and it creates that harmony. That's really comforting and very effortless. I love that word. That's exactly right. Effortless. It's that effortlessness. When you are being yourself, I mean, what's easier than just finally, like, being yourself?
And yet, it is the hardest thing in the world. I mean, people have actually come up to me, and I've actually just been working on a course that's going to be on Udemy. Like, how do you market yourself authentically? I'm like, well, we have to go back to how do you be authentic in this question, because... And people don't know that. Well, they're like, I don't know how to be myself. Like, I don't even know who I am in this whole equation anymore.
Yeah, because, I mean, and I rack that up to the thinking. Too much thinking, especially when it comes to style. It's not a thinking experience. It's an artistic, creative expression. It's an authentic, like, spiritual expression of who you are. So there's no, you don't need to think. Your brain, you can shut it off. You know, so, and I think that's a lot of the case with coming back to yourself. Who am I? That's really, stop thinking, stop analyzing, because all you do is follow the rules, right? The rules and the expectations people have of who you are and the identity that has been created for you, and that's all in your brain. So I think part of really getting back to who you are authentically is shutting that part off and allowing yourself to feel. I know that was huge for me. I don't know if you've had that experience, but really feeling, coming into my body, following my intuition, this feeling of, you know, bubbles and butterflies and yumminess in my stomach. I love, that's all like my true essence, and that has nothing to do with thinking. Except for when I pull out my notepad to jot it down, of course.
That then compliment, that's you doing something because you're being in a certain way, rather than doing to be in a way.
Yes, exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that does. That does make sense. So that's interesting that you have people asking you that about the authenticity. And I think the style part really, that just helps you discover that again, you know? Just strip all the rules and the limiting beliefs and other people's beliefs and all of that, just strip it away to get back to your core self.
Just create that experience. Mix and match. And don't be scared to try new things. Or stay with the classics, you know? If you're more of a classics person, go with that. But even though it's hard to be an original, by being authentic, you already are.
Yes, that should be a quote, a graphic quote that you create today, you amazing supernova woman.
There we go.
I love that. Yes, that's a beautiful, that's a quote of this call, that's for sure. I love that.
it'll definitely be coming up.
Okay, good.
The universe has requested it.
Yay! But yeah, I think authenticity is such a huge part of all of this. But it seems like this, like a jigsaw puzzle or a brain teaser.
But it's the funnest one ever, don't you think? I mean, it's like, it this is the one we really need to be doing. All this other things on how to do that, it's all going to come down to this.
Yeah, because it's remembering. Just reconnecting and going into the swimming through that remembrance, you know, and piecing yourself back together. Mm. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, we're our own ensembles. We just need to decide how we fit together.
Exactly. And how you express that in different ways, right?
Mm.
And also, I think part of it is the decluttering process. What's actually, what's mine? What do I genuinely believe and love? And what really lights me up and makes me giddy? Versus, you know, what do my parents think I should love and do? Or what does my spouse think I should love or be? Or so really, a big part of that is also sifting through all of that. And that goes for every aspect of your life, whether it's what you wear, what music you listen to, how you decide to spend your time every day. But I think, yeah, it comes back to asking yourself, you know, what is authentically me? Is that mine or is it somebody else's? And how does it feel to me? Because at the end of the day, it's about feeling how you want to feel.
Mm. And it's so easy, again, to get buried on the clutter rather than giving power to that signature self.
Yes. The clutter takes up so much room.
I mean, and there's obviously some value in it. I mean, in the sense that there might be some emotional attachment to it, but like, is it really serving anything powerful?
Exactly. And is it helping you? Is it allowing you to expand and stretch and grow? Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. And this clutter, it's in your brain, it's in your heart, and your energy field, but it's also in your closet. It's everywhere. So it's really, there's so many layers to it too, to decluttering mm-hmm. and. Yes, lots of that, and that's a necessary part to really then, you know, see yourself very clearly.
Well, cleaning out the closet is such a powerful metaphor, and it speaks so well into the kind of work you do. But as you said, it translates into so many different things. So maybe that's a nice kind of place to kind of move towards the end of the call. It's nice and actionable. How can people declutter their wardrobe?
Yes, and just for the record, when you do this, when you declutter your wardrobe, so thank you for asking this. This is a beautiful question. It actually has this magical effect on your life because you're energetically sort of telling the universe that you're creating more space for new opportunities, new experiences, new things, new whatever it is you desire. So it's a very powerful experience. So basically, when you go to declutter your closet, which is something I recommend for everybody, take one day that, you know, during the weekend or, you know, 2 days, and you want to create piles. So you're going to go through every single item in your closet. And when you put it on, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, how does this make me feel? Does it make me feel how I want to feel? And the answer might be no. And you say, okay, so then should I get rid of it? The answer might be no. So you say, okay, so maybe this item has some sort of sentimental value. Maybe I feel there's a part of me who thinks it can be used later, so I'll put it in a keep but store somewhere else pile, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to, and then the things that you ask, okay, do I need to keep this? And there's a hell no, get rid of that. Like, let's throw it out. You want to donate it or give it to, you know, to someone in your life, whatever, but definitely get rid of it. So the stuff you want to keep, but that doesn't serve you, that makes you feel, you know, yucky or sad or disappointed in yourself, like all those clothes that so many of us store, the, you know, for when I lose 10 pounds, or these are the jeans that fit me when I was 18 or something. If it makes you feel like crap, put it in a box and put it away. Do not leave it in your closet. In your closet should only be the stuff, and begin, like the front and center things in your closet should be the things that make you feel amazing. And if you don't have anything that makes you feel amazing, at least the stuff that you know you can wear easily.
Mm.
So those are your three piles. Yes, the stuff that fits well and I want to wear this, and yes, it's in alignment. The stuff that, hell no, I'm going to get rid of it, that let somebody else have that, I'm getting rid of it, donating it. And then pile number three is, I'm not going to get rid of it, but it's definitely not the vibration I want, so I'm going to store it somewhere else. And then make your closet look beautiful. Put up pictures, put in some, you know, some of those little potpourri balls or something, you know, make it smell delicious, put in some inspirational quotes. You can paint the inside of your closet. You can take off the door and put a lovely curtain instead. Put a little stool right near your closet so you can sit down and ceremoniously try on shoes and put on your clothing in the morning. Make it feel yummy. Make it feel inviting. That already will raise the vibration and make the whole experience even lovelier for you. And you'll see just how much easier it is to get dressed and to really be authentically you when what you're starting with, you know, what you're working with is already better organized and just feels better.
And I love that little, I feel like I'm going to start unhinging my covers. Because it's just such a beautiful experience. Because we really need to learn how to pamper ourselves, don't we?
Yes, make things an event, a ceremonious experience. An experience, yes. It doesn't, and it's surprising how little effort it takes to make something ceremonious or yummy. You know, it's about maybe putting on some dreamy music in the background as you get ready. It might be 5 minutes as you get dressed, but put that music on. It'll get you, you know, in a mood. It'll get you feeling how you want to feel, which then allows you to sort of, you know, that'll open up different parts of your being to then maybe get more, to get the courage you need to maybe explore a new look or wear something, a combination you wouldn't have done before, you know? So yes, definitely pampering and taking the time, to make it fun and sensual, you know, like you're feeling it, you're living it, experiencing it.
What we really got out of this conversation, and with so many inspirational novas and purpose-centered entrepreneurs who are out there are going to get out of this, is getting to know themselves, getting to serve themselves, loving themselves, branding themselves, and then dressing in a way that supports them.
Ooh, yes. Beautifully summed up. That's exactly right. Yes.
Is there anything else that you would like to highlight, or maybe an experience that you would love to offer up to the tribe, just to really engage in that in such a more powerful way, and your work as well?
Yes. I would be delighted to offer your beautiful tribe it's a 3-step graphic guide to intuitive dressing. Mm-hmm. So this whole notion of feeling when you go get dressed in the morning. So I can provide you with a link for that. That's a gift I would love to offer. And another one is my guidebook. It's really just my 5 secrets for feeling beautiful inside out. So it has some of my energy tools, some mindset tools, different style tips. It's really jam-packed with some yummy Technicolor goodness that you can start applying to your life today.
Thank you, Ishane, for such a delicious, delectable, frilly yet essential call that I think so many people need to hear.
Thank you. Yes, it's sort of spiritual fluff. You know, so yes, thank you. I mean, it was so delicious to chat with you, and I'm just so honored to be here with you and to be sharing this information with your community. So thank you so much.
To find out more about igniting more authentic experiences in your life, head on over to www.lenaski.com. And if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll not only get an exclusive guide to Get Up and Go-Go, a guide to making things happen, but you'll also get front row tickets and discounted tickets to the launch of my new online course, How to Market Yourself Authentically. So head on over to www.lenaski to find out more.